And now, Sports Day for Kia, the all-electric Kia EV6, Wheels Car of the Year, and Red Energy. Moving house? Call your local energy retailer. Red Energy.
7 minutes past six. Hello and welcome to the Monday edition of Sports Day. It was only a week ago that we sat here in this studio and posed the question, had the penny dropped for Ben Rutten and his Bombers in 2022? The undermanned, come-from-behind win against the Hawks had all the makings of a line-in-the-sand moment for that footy club. And what a perfect opportunity to go to the SCG and make another statement. If not with a win, then with at least a performance their members could be proud of. But instead, it was anything other than that. A week later, Essendon fans are now asking bigger questions of their club. Who are they? What do they stand for? And that Luke Parker, Dylan Shiel moment, well, there's more to dissect with Matthew Lloyd, who is live in the studio. Who has been leaping to Shield's defence, and what does that tell you? Plenty to discuss out of what was a jam-packed round nine, but unfortunately for Essendon supporters, their club is right at the top of the pecking order. Matthew Lloyd, welcome back.
Thanks, Sam. Yeah, I've been in footy clubs in good times and in bad times, and you find out a lot about people in the down times. You find out more about people and what their character is like in the down times. And this is going to be as challenging a time as Essendon has had. I know they've had a lot of challenging times due to the supplement saga and the scandal. But with a full complement of players, this is as low as it's probably got in many decades. And look, 922 points against, only North Melbourne are 970 and West Coast are 977. We know how bad they're going. Yeah. So for Ben Rutten coming from Richmond and looking to stiffen the defence, the Essendon always moved the ball really well, but he came to stiffen the defence and improve what they did. And that's just going backwards at a rate of knots.
133693, Essendon fans, that's the number to vent. You've got Matthew Lloyd here willing to listen to your venting and also answer any questions that you do have. Hey, Lloydie, I was watching on the Sunday Footy show, as I always do, and you were really passionate about the Dylan Shiel moment. And it was a really fascinating chat that you had with Damien Barrett about, whether that Shiel or someone else needed to respond physically. I want to talk to you more about that, but can I just put a different lens on it?
Yep.
I've watched a lot of footy clubs deal with a lot of different issues, and I think it always tells you a lot about what's going on internally at the time. And when I was watching that game and I saw what Luke Parker did, I said, gee, I'm looking forward to the press conference, because I don't think Essendon, being the proud, successful, glamorous club that it is, will stand for that, to what Luke Parker did. This is the response that Ben Rutten had in the press conference, specifically when he was asked about it after the game.
Where's Dylan at? Like, why is he so far off his best, and why can't he just get back to that?
I think he's one of our senior guys that I've mentioned, that we need in a game like that where it requires to be up for the contest, to pressure, to tackle, to win the ball, to surge it forward, to chase out after it. Oh, yeah, we've got some inexperienced players in our team, but it's the more senior guys we need to be the ones to get down and do the work and, as I said, show them the way.
So that's Ben's response. He's a relatively new coach, we know that, but he was given a half volley by the media and he could have done with it what he wanted to. I know some people will say this is an unfair comparison. Damien Hardwick is a lot more experienced and has been a lot more successful, but Damien Hardwick cops a lot of criticism for the defence that he sometimes has for his players. But have a listen to the passion in your voice and the difference in takes here with Damien Hardwick.
Yeah, I thought the carry-on was completely over the top, to be fair. Those sort of things happen within the game 400 times, but for some whatever reason, we all went after Tom Lynch.
There's certain situations where, we expect our players to make a stand. And, when a young lady's being whether intimidated, whether, inappropriately, or she felt insecure, we expect our players to stand in. And, Daniel, as far as we're concerned, did the right thing.
Once again, mate, the critics, they sit there and they judge from afar and come and sit on the field and see how you go. Brownie's capable of putting his hand up to coach at some stage. If he wants to coach, by all means, put your hand up.
So one of the greatest players we've ever seen, Jonathan Brown, Damien Hardwick, doesn't care, goes straight at his throat. For goodness sake, he even somehow managed to turn two guys getting into a punch-on in a nightclub into a positive. I just thought maybe Essendon fans would disagree with me. Maybe I'm overthinking this, Lloydie. But I don't care how bad a footy Dylan Shiel's playing at the moment. I don't think you let anyone from your footy club have that sort of treatment and say nothing.
Yeah, that was my point, Sam. And I teach my kids never to be walked all over. And that's why I didn't. I've only met Dylan Scheel a few times. He's a lovely guy. And I wouldn't have mattered if he played for Essendon or he played for Richmond. I would have said exactly the same thing.
Yeah, I agree.
About that because, yeah, I just don't like seeing people get walked all over. And I think it just shows how low they are at the moment.
I agree.
The Bombers. Yep.
And that's the point I was trying to make. Is they're so low on confidence that stuff's happening.
Yeah, that stuff's happening. And Ben Rutten's not in a position to feel like he's a young coach fighting for his own career. And he's got so much spinning in his own head that he's not in a position to fight the fight for Dylan Scheel. He's got thinking, how am I going to get my team to defend? How am I going to get my team to make an effort? So that was probably the last thing on his mind in that aftermatch press conference. He just sat there. He was sitting there on the bench. He looked shell-shocked after the game with what his team served up. 30 tackles on the SCG. That's probably where his mind was at of why the players aren't doing what he's asking them to do. But from a senior, you say talk about senior players. When I was playing, I had the Johnson boys, Solomon, Damien Hardwick. It just went on and on. Like Barnard, Hurd. There was a lot of experience. And then the McPhees come along and McVeighs. Mm. And so we probably live in this mentality still. And I'm still living in that you just still, doesn't matter if it's 2022 or it's back when I was playing in 2009. Nothing changed in a sense. Yes, you can't. The Brad Sewell situation was I want to make a statement for my team, not to do what happened to Brad Sewell, but I was still trying to wake up my side because we were playing pretty poor football. And then to see Merritt get bowled over, no one go to Rowbottom, and then to see Dylan Scheel get walked all over and nobody take a stand or Dylan not take a stand, I didn't like seeing it, and that's not the proud club that I once played for.
Let's hear from some of their loyal supporters. Brian's in Horsham. Kick us off, Brian.
Yeah, how you going, fellas?
We good.
Yeah, firstly, obviously I'm a passionate Essendon supporter. And I was wanting to ask Lloydie, do you really believe that Ben Rutten is the right man for the job at Essendon?
Well, Brian, he's only into his second year. And at this stage, there's big question marks. I'll have to be honest, Brian. I'm not going to stay here now and say he's the wrong person or anything like that because I said Damien Hardwick wasn't the right person at one stage and he's gone on and been a wonderful coach.
A lot of people would have thought that.
Yeah, I thought he was gone. I thought they lost by 117 points and they stuck by him. But
a lot of people said that about Nathan Buckley and Collingwood and he took them to
exactly,
a grand final.
Exactly, Brian. So as we sit here right now, the players aren't, they don't stand for anything and the team doesn't stand for anything and that's going to put any coach under pressure. But he's a year and a half or a year and a bit into his coaching career. So I'm not willing to say he's not the man at this point.
Thanks for your call, Brian. Peter's in Essendon. Hello, Peter.
Good evening, gents. Matthew, can I make 2 points to you, please? First of all, in my eyes, in my view, I think the players are fighting. Okay, they're not the best of mateships at the moment. And the second point, Matthew, is when Blake Carosello went and joined Truck at Essendon, do you think they tried to implement the Richmond game plan too much that they just didn't have the right personnel to execute that game plan, Matthew?
It's an interesting point you make. Yeah, you can't just take any game plan and give it to any team because it's about what player personnel you've got to suit how you play. So you can't just, you know, take Adam Uzay to, say, the club he goes to next year potentially and expect that they're going to play like Melbourne. You take out some aspects, but you've got to look at the players that you have got. So there was the forward handball that we were seeing a lot initially at the Bombers, which we saw Richmond do. But, nothing at all resembles what Richmond are doing at Essendon at the moment.
Steve's in Buller. Thanks for your call, Peter. Welcome, Steve.
Good evening. First of all, I went to the game. I came up from Melbourne to my son's in Sydney, so we went to the game. And I had my Essendon shirt on. that was a big mistake. But look, watching it from the stands, Matthew, you get a totally different perspective on what's going on the ground because you can look at the whole thing. Mm. But Buddy Franklin is probably the oldest player on the ground. He towed us up with smarts and skill. I watched Dylan Scheel. I'm not a bad Dylan Scheel, but he looks lost and he looks like he's not interested. Essendon, we just kick it long, we bomb it, we don't spread, we don't run hard and tackle. It's a joke. Every time they got the ball on their back line, I said to my son, watch this, they've got to kick straight down the line because they've got no one to kick to. And 2 metre Peter, even though he might be a big boy, he's got to learn to start leading forward, not coming from behind all the time. But we look, Matthew, we look, and I go back to this and from years ago, because I'm an older person, and we look soft. We look, we're not interested. We're not tackling the usual suspects. You know, you're on balls are doing it. I like Redmond, and the big guy, Draper, he's got a bit of mongrelling, but we've got no one there, Matty. It's hard, and Michael, take it on. Dylan Shield, like he looks like a pussycat, mate.
Yeah, the numbers, McGrath, 2 tackles, Shield, 2 tackles, Parrish, 1, Merritt, 1, Heppel, 0, and they're all the guys that are in the Ranya leadership group. And I want to discuss players at the moment. Like, you look at Callum Mills. Mm. He played in that game, and he showed those guys. If you're Ben Rutten, just show him the highlights of...
He played like a possessed
Callum
animal,
Mills. He had 13 tackles, Callum Mills. I've got Brayshaw, who's in the best handful of players in the game, plays the football a tough in the right way, and took Miller. So they're 3 players from teams that aren't top 4 teams, but are playing the right way, and no Essendon player at this stage is playing that. That's a confidence thing. We played Andrew McGrath yet? We haven't played Andrew quite yet.
So let's do that now, yeah. Lordy, because you wanted to do it. I think it's a good idea. So this is April 21. So
we need to stand up and take responsibility for what's going on out on the field, and we're taking it personally. Like myself, Darcy, Dylan Cheel are all in there, which are senior leaders of our football club, and we need to stand up and lead by example and show the younger players what the Essendon way is.
So he talked about putting it on himself and the other senior leaders. He specifically mentioned that group, and then Ben Rutten talked about the senior leaders after the game.
The smaller ground, the opposition demanded a contested pressure tackling game, and we went up for it. In particular, our more senior players, they're the ones that we need to pave the way and shine a light for our younger guys. They didn't do that tonight.
Really interesting, Lordy.
It is. And the problem at Essendon is no one knows what success is. No one knows what success looks like from a playing perspective. So you can talk about it all you like, but it's the confidence you get from the way you train and the confidence you get from then executing it on weekends. And they just have nothing consistent that you can build upon. I remember interviewing Kane Lambert once and said, when did you see things finally change at Richmond? He said, we bought in a game style. It had to be frontal pressure. So we got the ball in, win the territory battle, and it was about frontal pressure. He goes, I'd never seen Jack Revolt and Alex Rance speak to each other. It was like forwards against backs. No one was helping anybody. We told those two, sort yourselves out. We're a team here. So though the forwards and the backs suddenly were helping each other. But he said the pressure we were putting on Rance, Grimes, Asprey, Baker, Loston was just huge in training. Mm. And then we won round one. Then we executed round two. Players played their roles in round three. Before we knew it, we were 5-0. And we thought, okay, now we understand what the standards are, how you need to train, how ferocious you need to be on each other. And then it built and built till we get to 5-0. And everyone said, forget about touches. I'll do anything just to get a game in this 22. And I'll do whatever I can to play in a good winning team. We all get slaps on the back when you win. It's not about 30 touches. How many I get? So it's still about too much about individuals at Essendon versus what it's like to be part of something special and a team. And that's what they haven't worked out there for many, many years.
Fascinating insight from one of the game's greats. Matthew Lloyd is here for Macca's. My Macca's Rewards has arrived. More sports day, including one of the informed players in the comp at the moment, Max King and his Saints. Didn't they do a number on Geelong? He's going to join us a little later as well. Matthew Lloyd, live in the studio on Sports Day.
Matthew Lloyd is here for Macca's. My Macca's Rewards has arrived. Earn rewards with every Macca's run.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Matthew Lloyd is here live in the studio. We're just about to go away from Essendon, but we'll let Mark from Epping have the final say. Welcome to you, Mark.
How are you, Sam?
Good, thank you.
Good. I'll just make 3 quick points. Firstly, I just want to say Adrian Dodoro made a massive mistake. No one ever brings this up by taking Andy McGrath over Hugh McCluggage. That's the first point. Second point is we haven't been a good side for about 15 years, but at least we would have a crack. We'd fly the flag. We had toughish players. If we know we haven't been that good, but at least they had a dip. No one has a dip anymore. And the last point, I knew we were going to have a bad year this year. It's an indictment at our club that Dyson Heppel is still being re-elected as a captain. No one else wants the job. I'd like Lloyd to have a word on that, please.
Yeah, the leadership conversation is a really interesting one.
It is. I think Zach Merritt's the best player. He's a professional, Zach Merritt, and he's been a really consistent player over a long period of time. So I think that...
And he thought about leaving the footy club and ultimately decided to stay?
He did. So I think he's the next one. Yeah, you'd think it'd probably be next year. He has a red-hot crack. Didn't have his best game on the weekend, but he'll probably...
Tried.
He tries, and he's probably win his fourth best and fairest this year. And he wants nothing more than to be part of something more than winning best and fairest. He's tired of it, yeah. And he wants success. I'm sure they all do. They just don't seem to know how to get there at this point in time.
A team that they're playing on the weekend, wasn't that long ago that we were talking about Richmond in similar ways, but they have turned it around. Tell us, Lordy, they're just starting to get a bit of momentum back going. Are you turning back into a Richmond believer?
I think I had them eighth at the start of the year, and then I just think they're playing good football, but the last 3 weeks they've beaten the Eagles, Collingwood and Hawthorn.
Okay.
And then they've got Essendon this week. So they can only do what's in front of them and beat what's in front of them. So I'm still looking forward to seeing the next challenge they have. I thought they were convincingly beaten by Melbourne. They've lost to St Kilda. They've lost to Carlton way back in round 1. They've lost to the Adelaide Crows. So they've got Sydney in round 11. So I look forward to that game, seeing them come up against a team.
So you're a weight?
I'm a weight on them. I think they're a winner final team, I think. They're good enough for that, but I'm not sure they're a top four side still for me at this point.
And the Blues?
I'm just wrapped for them as a club, because I put the Essendon hat on and say Carlton have been like this, Sam, haven't they, for how many years? When Carlton have got to the top four, when would that be the last time? Or
goodness me.
Or won a final. When was the last winning final for Carlton?
Well, they won a final in 2013 when they beat Richmond when they didn't make the eight.
So a long, long
2011,
time
I reckon they finished fifth. I couldn't tell you the last time they finished top
four. So just to be 7-2, that's a long period of time to be in 9 games and sit 7-2. It's a body of work where they'd start to believe in themselves. I talk about you got to start somewhere, and this is a start. Might not be their year this year, but again, they'll play finals from a 7-2 position, and they'll go close to winning a final just with how tough they play their football. So I'd be ecstatic. I think, again, winning a final would be an unbelievable result for them.
Particularly in Michael Voss's first year. It was a fascinating Sunday of footy for me, Lordy, and I'll pose this to you. I walked away from last night thinking to myself, well, two things. Wondering, what kind of coach do GWS need? Like, do they need a heavily experienced coach that knows how to get the best out of those top-line players who are underperforming? Or do they need to just pull the trigger on an Adam Kingsley or a Daniel Jansiracusa or an Adam Uzay and start from scratch coaching-wise? That was the first question. And the second one, which is linked, was, has there ever been a time before this where we've thought to ourselves, would it actually be better going to the Gold Coast than GWS right now?
Yeah, good question, Sam. I think in terms of experience, so you hear they'd like an experienced coach, and there aren't really any out there. Do we believe what Nathan Buckley, do we take him at his word that he won't coach next year, you think?
I personally think Nathan won't coach again.
Okay.
But that's just a gut feel.
Yeah.
And Ross Lyon has basically ruled himself out after what happened with the Blues.
So that leaves us with Clarko and James Hurd. If you class him as an experienced coach, someone who's coached for...
And Brad Scott, who I think wants to coach again. Okay. Again, just a personal opinion.
But I think they'd prefer to go down a track like that in Sydney rather than start with a younger or a coach who hasn't coached today.
Because of the brand recognition of it?
I think
that's part of it, I guess.
I think so, I think so. It's Leon Cameron, though, took over from Kevin Sheedy. So I think you've just got to go the best candidate. And I spoke about this over the weekend. Any club who takes on Clarko has to be careful of what you're going to lose. What do you mean by that? With the soft cap, how many coaches you lose when you appoint Alistair Clarkson. So I think I'd appoint Clarkson if I feel you're going to be a top four side within relatively quickly or straight away.
But see, that's the question with GWS that I have of you, Lloydy. What do you think they are when you watch them?
I think...
Because their top five players on paper are as good as most teams.
Yeah. I think their best 10 is really good, but their depth is as poor as other teams. So I think their bottom end is pretty average.
Mm.
So I think Clarko could come in and do a bit of a Michael Voss, Sam, and he could really catapult them up for a period, not to win a premiership. I don't think they've got the list to win a premiership, but... He could really do some, you get Green, Kelly, Whitfield, Haynes, Himmelberg, Canelio, the list goes, Taranto, Tom Green, Toby, the list goes on and on. So it'd be a good job to get for him. But it's just, as I said, I heard a comment Craig McRae made. He said, when I coached with Clarkson at Hawthorn, I did a lot of work because we didn't have many coaches. I go to Collingwood, I've got that many coaches because of the wage I'm on as a senior coach.
Mm.
So that's what
it's interesting.
Every club has to think about when they take him on, how much of the soft cap he's going to take up with the wage he'd be on.
Breaking news from the match review officer, Liam Ryan given a week for rough conduct. Cade Chandler has been given 2 weeks for a dangerous tackle. We'll discuss that, and we've still got Max King coming up live.
A sports update thanks to Tyre Power. Their buying power puts the power in your lane.
Welcome back. Carlton defender Zach Williams expected to be sidelined for 10 to 12 weeks. Scans confirmed today, Lordy. It's not an Achilles, a high-grade calf strain.
Looked bad. Looked absolutely terrible. Like he got shot there out on the Giants Stadium. So lucky Doherty's playing as well as he is.
Well, I was going to say, Zach hasn't been playing very well. Mm. And Saad and Doherty have been playing really well.
Yeah, he's a big investment. He's back playing where he should play in the back line. Yeah, but I think they'll get by fine without him the way they're playing.
Yeah, I mean, that was going to be my point, is that the irony of the whole situation is that a year ago, everyone was seeing Zach Williams as the only way they go forward, and now he's just another cog in a chain, and they'll miss him, but they'll probably be okay without him.
And that's a great thing about it.
It's a good thing for Carlton.
And Melbourne have players drop out, they handle it fine, and I think Carlton are doing that pretty well at the moment too.
Speaking of underperforming, Jordan Ngoi is that, is he not?
I thought he was good. He had a good first 5 rounds, and his last 4 weeks have been poor. It just sort of gets you to, he's out of contact, a bit of that stringer, a bit of stringer about him where he can be so good for periods, but then down for periods. So
overall though, Lordy, what does that make him? Is he a very good player? Is he a good player? Is he a star? Is he an average player?
I'd say he's a good player.
Okay.
Yeah, a good player, but...
Because it's getting to contract talk times.
Yes.
So I'm just... always wonder when a player's playing like this, you know, what do Collingwood offer him? What are other clubs out there willing to offer
him? I think
him?
They just have a figure, Sam, that they feel he's worth. And that, I don't know, like, I think great player or good players are on 800. I think Jordan should be on around the 600 on what his output is. And if he gets offered it via a North or a St Kilda, willing to let him go.
Wow. Which you'd think that one of those clubs will offer him that sort
of money.
And
they've got to be careful. I think St Kilda have fallen into it before and been hurt.
Yep.
And North Melbourne have fallen into it before
definitely.
And been hurt. So be interesting to see what his manager is able to get out of other clubs, because I think Collingwood need to be strong with this one.
This man's going to need his own manager soon.
It's now time for a Blue Bet update. Blue Bet's AFL 12-point halftime early payout is available on all games this weekend. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly.
Give us your best, Richard Humiston.
Commiserations for Saturday off the top, Sammy. It was a disaster. But anyway, we move on. We need to recoup some of those losses. And we can do that by backing. I keep saying this every single weekend, and your investment is just going to get shorter and shorter. Melbourne now into $2.50. while every other side has drifted. Brisbane have drifted to 5, Freo out to 10, Sydney out to 12, Geelong out to 14. Everyone's drifting except for Melbourne, who are firming. So if you want to recoup some of your losses on Dosh, put your Dosh on Melbourne. And having a look at the Brownlow market, Paddy Cripps just continues to come in. He went all the way out to $11 a couple of weeks ago, now into $2.60.
Wow.
Lockie Neal at $5, and Petrarca's drifted out to $7. And Sammy, just before I go, because it is 6 days away, thank God, till this is all over, we don't have to see any more campaign ads. But Labor, as short as they have been at any stage since this market's opened, into $1.28. Coalition at $3.70. We've got 151 seats. We've got same seat multis. We've got every bet you can think of on the election at Bluebet. Download the app. Good luck. Gamble responsibly.
Good on you, Rich. Never thought I'd hear the day of a same seat multi, but we digress. St Kilda, gun forward, and Matthew Lloyd, protege, Max King, to join us live next. Welcome back to Sports Day. Sam McClure and Matthew Lloyd with you up until 7 o'clock. We've been talking a few negatives to start the show, Lloydie. It's always good when we get onto a positive. I know you know this man really well, and so does the rest of the competition. 83 goals in his young career so far, a couple on the weekend. His name is Max King, and he's dominating for the Saints, who came from behind with a really impressive victory over Geelong. And he joins us live on Sports Day. Max, welcome and congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
How is the team playing right now in your eyes, Max?
We've been a bit up and down the last few weeks probably, but I guess the win on the weekend has given us a lot of confidence and I feel like we're in a really good place.
Max, where do you reckon the turnaround started and came from against the Cats in that scintillating third quarter?
Definitely was in that third quarter. We watched most of that quarter in our review today, and I guess there are a lot of little moments that you could probably put your finger on that were a catalyst for us. We felt like in the first half we didn't play too badly, but definitely got a lot of momentum and got the crowd involved and got a really good run in that third.
In the review, does what Jack Steele did and what he played with come up from Brett Ratton? Because that was as courageous as you'll see.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the first things we sort of covered off in the review. He wasn't there today. I think he's under the knife, the Savo, tonight. Lots of praise for Steele. It was something that not a lot of guys would have come back on the ground from. So that was huge for us.
It was certainly an incredible performance. Max, we'll ask you about this in a second. I just, Lordy, want to get your perspective as someone that's watched him closely and coached him from a young age. The Ryder-Marshall combination, how much does that, particularly as their ones rotating forward, help someone like Max?
There's a chain of... I think Max is still going to always get the number one forward.
Definitely. But do you think it helps
defender,
having...
Sorry.
Do you think it helps having another big man like those two down there? Because not every team has that flow-on effect.
It certainly does. And then just the ruck work of Ryder and Marshall is just huge. Just coping with two of them and not just one. Max, we'll get your opinion now. Like how not having one of them in the team to having them, how does it change your role or the way you play? Do you notice it at all?
Yeah, I guess having another one of the big boys down forward helps me. Their defender probably has to pay a bit more attention to them in the air. So you find the other defenders are more accountable and not looking to float off as much and impact my contest. And it just gives the team another big target up there. It definitely helps me a lot.
Have you ever watched a Carey Jakovic battle before?
No, I've seen some snippets, but I've heard a lot about it.
Did you like that, hearing a coach like Chris Scott talking about you and Sam De Koning about the battle you had? And it must have been a nice compliment for you. And also, how did you find him on the weekend?
Yeah, it was definitely a good battle. He's a great young player. He's a great size and moves pretty well. So, he's been playing some good footy this year and, hopefully... lots of good battles going forward over the next few years.
Have you seen your own season, Max? Like, you've had some dominant games and then you've played your part in others. Like, how are you viewing your season to date?
I think it's been okay. As you said, there's been little glimpses. Still probably some inconsistencies that I'm working on. Pretty positive start to the year, but at the same time, I'm under no illusion that I've got a lot of work to do, and I feel like I can always be doing more and going a bit better. So definitely a lot of work to do.
He's played 47 games now, Lloydie, and his last 30, he's only been goalless three times.
Sheed's always said...
That's a good record for a young forward.
Sam, that you make it, he believed, when you get to 50 games. That was Sheed's theory, that you feel like you belong at AFL level once you hit 50 games. So just huge where Max is going to for the next 50.
Is that how you feel right now, Max? Like, are you much more comfortable at AFL level in game 47 than, say, you were game 37, 27?
Yeah, definitely. I think each game you sort of start to feel a bit more comfortable and feel like you belong and feel like you can really have impact on games. So just looking to keep building that each week and definitely feel like I'm meant to be out there and meant to be impacting games.
And the Saints fans are starting to get excited. They're starting to believe. You're still a local boy, aren't you, living in Sandringham? Are you feeling that when you're walking in and getting your morning coffees?
There are a few Saints supporters around this sort of Bayside area. It's a great feel. And, obviously we've had a good start to the season. There's still lots of footy to be played. But, it's definitely a really positive feel around the club. And, it feels like the fans are lapping up as well.
And how's Ben before we let you go?
Yeah, he's going well. He's come back a few times just to see family and friends, but he's up there at the moment, chipping away at his rehab. I think he's not too far off having a little trot. But yeah, pretty smooth so far from all reports. So yeah, he's going well.
Max, great to have you on. You're a star in the making of the competition. We really appreciate it, and good luck for the rest of the season.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Max King there, the Saints star, young star, joining us. That's a pretty incredible record that he's got, and he's still less than 50 games, and he's going to get better as he plays in better teams.
And I still think he's probably close to 10 kilos, maybe, that he could still put on. So
another 10.
I think so. He's put on about 8 so far. So I still think, there's a lot of weight he can put on to handle the likes of Stephen May and these types who work him under the footy.
Lordy, news just a hand. Dyson Heppel has been played your comments on the Sunday Footy Show about wanting a response to the Dylan Scheel issue. This is what he's had to say just a few minutes ago on Fox Footy.
Look, Lordy's got every right to say that, no doubt. Everyone has their own opinion, that's fine. But what does he want Dylan to plough through someone, give away a free kick, give away a 50-metre penalty and another goal? You know, this day and age, free kicks are given away so quickly. And I think that the hardness and the firmness and what you're talking about in being a nice football team, it's not about giving away free kicks or showing full-blown aggression, or it's when the ball's there to be won. That's what we want to stand for.
Okay, and then he also had more to say on the reaction, or lack thereof, to Scheel.
If they're aware of it, and by the looks of it, they seem to be oblivious to it. I had no idea it was happening in the moment. I hadn't even seen the vision. That was the first time. So if you're aware of it in the moment, I have no doubt teammates will go straight over and help and support.
Is Dyson Heppel there saying that that's the first time he's seen the Parker?
It sounds like he wasn't aware of it, and he said others weren't aware of what Parker did on the day.
I'm surprised by that.
To support their teammate. When I say plough through, you can still hit hard without, I don't know where a free kick, a 50, and a goal comes from. They already lost by 12 goals anyway.
Yeah, I think you showed a pretty pertinent example of what Stephen May did to Zach Jones.
Gave away a free kick, but he wanted to let him know, we're not going to cop what you just did to Ed Langdon.
He stuck the knee up and wrapped the shoulder across.
So it was interesting. He's pretty defensive there, Dyson. Anyway, it's everyone's opinion. And I know it's a different game, it's a different era, but I didn't see anyone hunt the ball harder afterwards either.
More Sports Day with Matthew Lloyd after this.
Now on Sports Day, Lloydie's top 7 for Kia. Meet your muse with the all-new Kia Sportage.
You get so many people in the industry talking this segment, and a lot of them get upset that they're not included in lists. We'll leave it there. What have you got for us tonight, Lloydie?
I might do my top 7 apologies list sometime soon.
I really want that list.
There's a
That's
few
a good one.
That I could apologise to or are not happy, but in praise of Leon Cameron and his coaching career, the best two-sided players seen in the game, because Leon
was just a
freak at left and right foot over long range.
Okay? Ambidextrous, wasn't he?
Ambidextrous. So at number 7, I've got Andrew Jarman of the Adelaide Crows.
So what time period have we got last?
In my time of watching him play.
Okay, so 30, 40 years.
30, 40 years, Andrew Jarman. Apologies to some I've missed, because there'd be some guns I missed. I've got number 6, Chris Grant. I loved what he could do left and right.
Great one.
I reckon he hurt us on his left foot to have us lose that game in the year 2000. Number 5, our guest on Footy Classified tonight, Sam Mitchell.
Oh.
I think that, he learnt as a kid. I think the coach had a go at him and said, use your preferred foot, and he was. And he was so embarrassed, he started using the other side, because the coach had a go at him about his kicking and said, use your preferred foot. He was. But he was so embarrassed, he turned to his left foot, because the coach thought he was a left footer, but he was a right footer. At number 4, Akermanis. How good was he?
Gee, I can't believe you got 3 better. He was my number 1.
Well, I've gone with Leon. Leon, because I loved how long Leon could kick the ball. Like, he'd kick goals from outside 50 on either side of the body, which I'd never seen before. This was a toss-up between 1 and 2, but at 2, I've got Darren Jarman. I grew up just in that era, just loving watching him hit Dunstall, Pritchard, all these Buchanan, all these players, so love them. And at number 1, I've got Dancing Dougie.
Oh, wow.
Dougie Hawkins. Just watching him in those conditions at the Witten Oval, not tough, and left and right. It's just exquisite watching Doug through the 80s and 90s. So, and I left that. I played a state
game. Any apologies?
I played a state game, and I'd had trouble with the Wakelands, who used to stand out in front of me. Yep. And some of the passes I was getting left and right from Gary Hocking was phenomenal, some of the passes that he could hit me with. So, still side bottom. I love what he does. David Mundy, I mean, Nicky Winmar. So, some very good players that missed out, Sam.
Yep, some very good players. Well, two things to tell you about that. One is that Acker won't be happy that he was listed at three. I'll be expecting a text message before you get to Classified. And the other bit of news, there's a late out with Classified.
Who?
Caro's out.
Who's in?
I'm in.
Oh, I'm happy with that.
Okay. Yeah, don't tell Caro that. And we're on live tonight.
9 o'clock with Sam Mitchell.
9 o'clock on Nine. Footy Classified coming up. Thanks for joining us, Lloydie.
Thanks, Sam. Enjoyed it.
I think Jimmy's back in the studio today. Lawrence, tomorrow, is he? I've got a lot to ask Jimmy. Join us tomorrow on Sports Day.